Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Connect the Dots, episode 11. I'm Ezra White.
And I'm Jeremiah Garcia from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other.
In our last episode, we gave you all an overview of our organization's services. In today's episode, however, we wanted to take some time and briefly go over our guide dog services in particular, which is where it all began. As we stated in our last episode, our organization was founded back in 1955 under the name Eye of the Pacific. At this time, we spent years building a training center on what is now the grounds of the University of Hawaii campus of Manoa. German Shepherd dogs were being trained for our local residents. The first group of dogs we issued was back in 1957, and these dogs were named Lady, Shiva, Lani, Mike, and the last dog, Frida. The training center issued a total of 24 dogs by 1970, and the last group of dogs were issued before closing. These dogs were named Kulohe, Pele, Lisa, and the last dog we issued was named Lady. And Lady was named after the first dog back in 1957. That's pretty cool. The training center closed for several reasons, one of which is because the demand for the dog wasn't high enough to sustain the center's operating costs. With quarantine still being a major barrier for guide dogs entering our state, leaders of the organization looked for ways to provide Hawaii residents with the option of still having a guide dog. With that said, in 1975, we opened a contract with Guide Dogs Victoria of Melbourne, Australia. This contract was the first ever done in the guide dog industry. We purchased a fully trained dog and applicant training. At the time, for one person, the average cost for training was $25,000. This included the dog, equipment, and the 4 weeks of training. Costs for training per person only increased as the years went by. So much so that our last dog we issued from Guide Dogs Victoria in 2011 costed around $60,000. Our partnership with Guide Dogs Victoria was long-lasting, and our clients rated their experience to be excellent. The first dog we issued from them was in 1976, and this was a yellow Labrador named Kent. The last dog we issued from Guide Dogs Victoria was named Ziandra, and this was in 2011. Ziandra was a 44th Australian issued guide dog, and she worked with a gentleman for 10 years, guiding him to and from work and everywhere in between.
Ziandra was my first guide dog from Melbourne, Australia. She was very calm and gentle and caring. I always was amazed at her recall. I could let her run free, and when I call her, she would come running to me and sit and run in front of me. She would always do that, no matter what kind of distractions, or if there's another dog around or people around. When I call her, she would always come running to me, and I think that was remarkable. She would take care of me at work when I'm tired. After I finish working, I would lie down. She would come by me, lie down next to me, and we would take a 10-minute rest, you know. Yeah, I really missed her. She was a very good dog, well-trained and beautiful.
In addition to Australia, we entered into the same partnership in 1995 with the New Zealand Foundation for the Blind, bringing in their first dog, a Labrador Retriever named Nugget, and their 12th and final dog, a Labrador Retriever named Luke, in 2010.
Luke and I partnered in February of 2010. He came to me at a time when I needed a dog with steady, no-nonsense work ethics. He was also an intuitive, gentle soul. Luke retired in 2018, and I have to say that I believe most handlers who have retired their partners will agree that the experience is bittersweet. We are happy and really proud to retire our partners for having done a really great job. At the same time, we're grieving because we're losing a partner. To help ease my grief, I worked really hard to secure a safe and happy retirement home for him because I thought I would never see him again. To my surprise, he visited me a couple months ago, and at age 14, he looked so good. His visit affirmed my belief that his loyalty and commitment to me was priceless, and my love for him remains forever.
In our previous episode, we talked a little about the modification of the state quarantine rules that by 1998 excluded guide dogs from quarantine. You know, Guide Dogs of Hawaii actually anticipated how this rule impacted Hawaii residents, and this gave guide dog teams the ability to travel in and out of the state with their guide dog, as well as it gave us the opportunity to choose which training center we wanted to go to. Back when we were still named Eye of the Pacific, we were going through a transitional phase trying to organize the guide dog services program. We felt it was the right time to identify other needs that the BVI community faced. So, in 2015, we officially opened Get Ahead with Technology Youth Program. As a matter of fact, it was also at the same time in 2015 that we changed our legal name to Guide Dogs of Hawaii. If we are not training guide dogs, are you wondering why the name? We asked one of our board of directors, Vicky Kozloff, who has been with GDH since 1976.
The organization's founders believed that the blind and visually impaired residents would benefit from the use of guide dogs. Even though we do not train guide dogs or allocate them at this time, we still firmly believe in supporting residents working with guide dogs. Now that we have centers in the United States where our residents can go to, we are focusing on making sure that they are prepared for training and that the concerns of not being able to afford the care of the dog is not an issue anymore. This, we believe, will increase guide dog users in Hawaii.
Our guide dog service program addresses three focus points. The first being guide dog training preparedness. Anyone interested in getting a dog will be provided with O&M training support to strengthen and broaden travel routes, introduce them to other handlers, assist with the application process, and establish routes for the team to use daily. Our second focus point is to ensure that active guide dogs receive optimal nutrition and wellness care. This is often an area where many individuals decline getting a dog because of the high cost in caring for them. GDH will support the dog in areas where the dog's training center does not. Our third focus is public education on guide dog etiquette and public access for guide dogs.
Spoke about public education on guide dogs. It reminded me of a story that happened to me about 10, 11 years ago. I was in summer school at the time. And one day we had a couple of guide dog handlers come into our classroom. And they basically spent the entire day teaching us about guide dogs and the whole guide dog lifestyle. A few of the things we did was Juno walks. So basically a Juno walk is where one person has a harness and you as a blind person, you would hold on to that harness and you would basically give them commands of where to go. It was actually this experience where my interest for guide dogs only increased since then. So much so that when I became a client of Guide Dogs of Hawaii, about 2 or 3 years after that, my interest for guide dogs only grew more and more as I began to get more exposed to the guide dog community. It's amazing, and that's kind of what was the deciding factor for me to apply for my own dog at Leader Dogs in Michigan back in November of last year. So I can't wait to get my first dog, and when I do, I'll definitely tell you guys all of my stories, because I'm sure I'll have Give me a couple years. I'm sure I have a lot of stories to tell you folks.
What we have now puts Hawaii residents in a unique place. We partnered with international training centers and now support dogs from different training centers, such as Guide Dog Foundation out of New York, Guide Dogs for the Blind out of California and Oregon campuses, Guiding Eyes of New York, and Leader Dogs of Michigan. Bringing together teams of all these centers, as well as those who graduated from Australia and New Zealand centers, offers our residents a treasure chest of a variety of skills, techniques, and fellowship. What our services do overall is create the opportunity for the individual to achieve O&M independence and be partnered with a dog. Guide Dogs 808 brings together guide dog teams from all training centers to share experiences, skills, and techniques while establishing friendships. The Guide Dog Optimal Wellness service we provide reassures the individual that not having the financial ability to care for the dog will not be a barrier.
I've had a total of 5 dogs. They've all been different. And the one thing that I've learned is to be consistent. You have to be consistent with every dog you have so that the dogs don't get confused. The work together is just a lot more progressive, a lot more well understood, and the working team works better together.
So my first guide dog I got from Guide Dogs for the Blind, we went to their Oregon campus. I went on a camping trip recently, my first time going tent camping, and the ground was very uneven. And especially when using a cane, that was always a struggle for me. I would always avoid those kinds of places. With Dane, my guide dog, he really, I think his patient nature and helping me get around and stopping wherever, you know, something was uneven so that I could kind of get my balance before moving on.
Lastly, but not the least, is our public education on guide dog etiquette. Americans with Disabilities Service Animal, ADA, Public Access, and Air Carrier Act. All of these focuses aim to provide the highest level of support for our clients desiring to work with guide dogs to enhance their mobility. Every handler agrees that guide dogs don't just give unconditional love, loyalty, and guidance, but these dogs lead us to many doors of opportunity and give us the confidence to step through those doors.
Well, after being a cane traveler for most of my life and trying this experience of having a guide dog, I don't think I could go back. I think having that second pair of eyes looking out for me as I'm going about my day is just something that, you know, I don't think I could live without anymore.
Living alone, I find that my dog brings for me a lot of companionship, comfort, joy. And when we play together, she brings a lot of laughter when I'm playing with her.
And I have my first boy, but he is so different. If I'm out of his sight, he starts, you know, I take him outside in the patio. He loves to sit in the sun. The minute I close the door, I go in the third bedroom. Yeah, buddy.
If you are interested in learning more about guide dogs, look for the training center nearest to you. All centers have excellent service and access to information. Be sure to ask questions that matter to you. Take your time in researching and select a training center that will meet your needs and that you are comfortable with, because you'll be working with your dog for at least 8 years and you want to be sure you have a comfortable relationship with both your center and your dog. We offer a few words from a few of our guide dog handlers.
I got Todd from the Guide Dog Foundation, Smithtown, Long Island. Because of their small size graduating class with only like 60 dogs a year, they have two handlers to one trainer. And I like that, where there is a lot of supervision. Their training is similar to the Australia guide dog of the guide dogs in Australia. We go in groups, and when somebody is training with their dog, the other people can hang around, talk story, we get to know each other. I like that part. We can socialize, and I enjoy the people and my experience with my other handlers. I really enjoyed that trip. And I'm glad I chose the Guide Dog Foundation.
There is definitely many things I am excited for that comes along with having a guide dog. You know, for example, walking straight, having more confidence when I travel, avoiding obstacles. It's gonna help me walk faster. My head will be held more high. And, you know, I've loved my cane. It definitely helped me. However, I think a dog, it definitely could provide companionship. It could provide, you know, personal reassurance for me and confidence that the cane just cannot provide for me.
As we draw to a close with this episode, we thank you for joining us and hope you found useful information. We welcome your feedback at connectedthoughts@guidedogsofhawaii.org. It would be great if you would visit us on our social media platforms such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii. Many thanks to the following individuals for contributing their personal experiences to this podcast. J. Kamibayashi, Vicky Kozloff, Vicky Kennedy, Joy Nakata Muranaka, and Kylie Kamioka.
We would like to leave you off with an Olalono Eo, or a Hawaiian proverb. We encourage you to reflect on this saying and see how it can be applied to your life. Today's Olalono Eo is Pupukahi I Holomua. In English, that translates to be united in order to progress forward.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you next time.
Ahui ho a malama pono. Episode hosted by Ezra White and Jeremiah Garcia. Written by Ezra White and Jeremiah Garcia with help from Isa Torres. Music by Ezra White. Edited and published by Primo Mateo. This podcast is supported by Guide Dogs of Hawaii, a nonprofit organization serving the blind and visually impaired of Hawaii.